Sheehan, and I want to thank you for being here today. We have special guest Bernard Gunther joining us. He is going to share his wisdom and his way with us. He's an amazing body worker, alchemist, and wisdom keeper. He will share with us how to shine a light on those dark aspects of ourself and the world around us and bring light to them so that we can walk in balance and harmony with the world around us. Without further ado, let's dive in with Bernard.
Bernard, I want to thank you for being here today. I'm really excited to have this discourse that is really centric around your work, which is not commonplace, but well followed globally, I would say. First of all, I would, one, just want to express gratitude for you being on the forefront, kind of be in that leadership role to kind of explore and talk about concepts that might, as I just mentioned, scare people. So within this interview, I hope that we can invite everyone to kind of open up, if they're not already, to think beyond what they might know or perceive. So with that being said, what I'd love to start with is if you could share with the listeners, because you have a great body of work and information on your website and on your social media sites, primarily on Facebook is where I follow you. If you can share with the listeners on what it takes to actually welcome yourself into a space of wanting to explore both sides of the universe, meaning that we have a polarity within our universe that's there for a reason, yet to keep ourselves in a place where we can operate and function in it without getting into harm's way.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for having me, and appreciate this interview. So were you asking also more about my personal story or just in general with regards to what we're dealing with in this world?
You can approach it however you wish.
I was just wondering, yeah, because, I want to make clear, like, that, you know, we all have our own personal paths, right, in terms of what we're doing in our world. And, you know, in my personal work over the past 20 years, that kind of opened up. And, you know, the trigger was more like, you know, the sincere search for truth and questioning everything we've been told and taught, and most often triggered by suffering or triggered by not being able to fit in. And especially in this day and age, these are some crazy times and energies, right? And we're trying to make sense of it and living this life on planet Earth, and we're not really being told and taught about how to deal with our emotions and, you know, to create more deeper inner fulfillment, but are mostly chasing something in the outside, trying to fulfill a hole we have deep within, right? And
right.
With regard to these polarities, you know, we then most often forget that we live in this 3D physical reality. We live in duality, right? That's what it comes down to. So the one cannot exist without the other, the male not with the female, the dark not with the light. But we're always trying to also, you know, pursue pleasure and pleasure and trying to avoid pain, but both go together as well.
Yep.
Like on a political spectrum or globally, we're trying to get rid of the bad guys, the quote-unquote evil guys. They want to have the good guys. Or, on, you know, even literally on the basic political spectrum, you have people identified with the left and they want to convince or get rid of the right and vice versa, but not realizing that the moment you identify yourself with one side or just support one side, you automatically create the other side.
Absolutely.
With all its variations. And it's a closed loop, right?
Yep.
So from a bigger picture perspective, and that's really what deeper spiritual esoteric work is all about, especially the inner work, it is about transcending duality. And transcending duality doesn't mean to escape the world into some state of samadhi and just, you know, live out in a cave somewhere or the monastery. It's just really an inner development to be in this world but not of this world and not be so affected by the outside world and all these polarities, but see also the bigger picture, even see the purpose of evil and what we call evil, so to speak, and understand, you know, the teaching function in light of the evolution of consciousness, because that's really what we're in, and especially intensifying during this, what I call time of transition, right, in esoteric teaching, especially Christian esotericism, I have called this time the time of transition, and you see it in many other prophecies and other teachings, that we are kind of in a transitional phase, and that transitional phase spans over a few hundred, if not thousand years, because we as human beings, we are also a transitional being. We haven't stopped evolution, right?
Correct.
And there's still a long way to go. And so everything, you know, it comes up for us to confront and look at within ourselves, or also in the outside world. So, but again, like the most of the struggle people experience is because they get caught in binary thinking, duality, and trying to choose one over the other, and then not understanding more the holistic interrelationship of life and how what the one defines the other, or almost creates the other in that sense.
Well said, and I've been saying that a lot lately, be in the world, be in this world, but not of it. If you could share with the listeners an example where we could objectively stand back and see, you know, that if we have bad versus good, so and so quote, or any dualistic perspective, where and how from a deeper level they serve right now as the universe as we perceive it is constructed. And then beyond that example, if you can share what you've had glimpses of is possible, because once, if we're willing to like let go of the dualistic attachments, there's something juicier beyond that, and not in the sense of grasping at sense pleasures, but it's a totally different operating system. Yet we tend to, and right now, even within my own inner work, you get pulled back into that loop, you know. It's like, oh, I'm back in this dualistic loop, but there's something else that's accessible, and that, I think, brings us into that being in this world but not of it statement that's known in the Bible and also different esoteric texts that is an invitation, I think, to that evolution that you're speaking of. So if you can share those two, that example for the listener and then also what you've had glimpses or experience on a daily basis of being that beyond.
So I think the best example I could think of, which most people maybe could relate to, is, again, going more to the basic political spectrum right now with President Trump.
Yeah.
In the States of America, right, when he got elected, or as I would call selected, because I don't feel there's actually choice through voting in this system.
Right.
A lot of people get upset, right, especially more people on the progressive end, liberal or leftist, right? And it was very interesting to observe the reaction of people who identify themselves as the left or as liberals, because they got really, really upset and even angry and mad at this man with quite some violent reactions. And I remember in L.A. I saw footage of people like having these puppets built of Trump and burning the puppet. Right, that's a very violent voodoo kind of black magic, literally from an esoteric like cult perspective. That's, you know, creates all kinds of you know, friction in the unseen world. But it was very interesting to see all these well-meaning people who were actually very calm before, but then the unimaginable happened, so to speak, right? And it's so interesting to observe, because I've mentioned not all, but many people who identify against themselves as on the left became that which they fought against, right? They became very violent, hating on making fun of Trump, like literally hating on him, disgusting him, and projecting literally onto them in ways that I have literally never seen before. And it's a very classic example of shadow projection from Jungian psychology, right? That they project almost their own unconscious shadow onto this man, and that's always happens when you trigger, or they get really upset about his tweets and whatnot, and then even exaggerating completely out of proportion because he has not really done anything evil.
And even, right.
even if you look at it objectively, if you don't, like myself, I don't identify myself neither with the left or right or middle. I'm not into any politics, right? Into this, you know, and I just don't associate, identify with any of that. I don't even believe in government, which is a whole other topic.
Right.
But you know, when even objective about it, you look at what, for example, President Obama has done. He has done way more damage and told way more lies in his policies and his drone program than Trump has ever done so far. But everybody loved Obama, because he was more eloquent, more nice, more the quote-unquote gentleman. But it's easy to have to hide behind this kind of mask, and Trump is more blunt. But from a shadow perspective, Jungian perspective, you know, Trump is actually, the way I see it, exactly the president America deserves to have. Because more than anything else, truly represents what America stands for in terms of the deeper shadow of what America is, the imperialism, the bigger, you know, I want more, bigger is better, quantity over quality, the narcissism, right? So the self-made millionaire, I mean, all of that, the American dream, that's a shadow side almost of the American dream, which Trump represents, right? So from going back from this dualistic perspective in terms of healing transformation, I see actually Trump as a teacher. He fulfills the teaching role, right, to bring all
Absolutely.
That up. And but people do not, you know, they project, they get triggered and externalize it instead of understanding there's something deeper happening, right? And then you fall into the divide and conquer trap, so to speak, as I call it, because it divides people even more. And like I said, the left against the right, and they hate each other and protest each other. They want to impeach Trump, and that's not going to solve anything, by the way. What's all happening is just symptom management, trying to cut the branches of the tree, which will never grow back. Just impeaching Trump and putting another puppet in, no matter what
right.
party, will not change anything, right? So the change needs to happen within. So a more conscious response would be actually I go within and see when you're triggered, understanding basic Jungian psychology, basically. When you're really emotionally upset about something or someone, and it really triggers a really negative emotions to hate on somebody, and somebody really irritates you, that shows to some issue within yourself which is unconscious and you are not aware of.
Right.
Right? So it's about integrating your shadow instead of becoming so reactive. Right. So that is
Absolutely.
An example of you know, using... you know, understanding the teaching function of a lot of tricksters or people that annoy us, or even read it in many spiritual teachings or esoteric literature or in shamanism, like, you know, that your best teacher is your enemy.
Absolutely.
Right? That's what it comes down to. So that's, for me, the most obvious example I think most people maybe can relate to. And that's why I also question, like, you know, also I may want to, you know, give a little... thought experiment, so to speak, to the listeners of reflection of why is the need to identify with one side? You know, if the moment you call yourself a liberal or progressive or left or the right, I don't care, like it doesn't matter, right? Just because, for example, I've gotten a lot of flack from the left because I'm like... criticize them a lot, and like, you know, because I see just the emotional just loosh they're producing and the overactiveness, and then people always judge or project out of their own tunnel vision. I've been claimed to be a Trump supporter or right wing when I couldn't be further from that either, right? But
right.
we all just caught in this one, you know, either or thinking, this binary dualistic thinking, and not seeing that both are same sides of the same coin, so to speak, right? So you know, the moment you identify yourself with any ism, with any side, any of these artificial beliefs, I'm left, I'm Republican, even to the point you identify yourself with a nation, a country, a flag, I'm American, or this and that, which is an artificial product. You're a human being, right? You're just being told then that you're American with these imaginary borders, but the moment you take on this identification, you separate yourself from others. And you defend in an abstract, illusory concept. And that's really hard for a lot of people to understand because they're very identified, you know, with patriotism, which in a sense, as Krishnamurti said, patriotism is a disease, right? Mm. It creates more friction, and no government can truly give freedom to the individual. It's a closed loop. And
right.
that, I mean, it goes deeper from there, but that's just a good example of how people are caught in dualistic thinking on just basic level and on these basic beliefs people take as normal and is even supported in our society. But as Krishnamurti said, it's no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society, and that's what people are trying to do, adjusting to a sick society, and then they get sick, and then unhappiness and more friction and suffering and conflict and war and all of that, right?
Right.
Now, to your second question.
Yeah. Go ahead. Perfect.
To your second question about what was it again about experiencing a state that is beyond all of that?
Yeah, so in, I don't know if you're familiar with the Heart Sutra, but it's gone, gone, go beyond. And so it's basically welcoming self, to paraphrase it very simply, to go beyond duality. And just from witnessing what you share and knowing you a little bit in person, I would love for you to share your glimpses or state of being in the beyond, and what you feel or what you've experienced is accessible here now, moving through that lens.
Yeah, basically what it comes down to is more living more in an quote-unquote awakened state. But awakening is kind of a trigger word as well. It's not a trigger word, but a loaded word.
Right.
Very abused this day and age, because, you know, I wouldn't call myself awakened in the true meaning of the word of, like, being enlightened, right? There are various
states.
But even these higher states, levels of being and awakened states, it's not this continuous bliss walking on a cloud and nothing happens to you and you're just immune to everything.
Right.
That's a very misconception. It's really grounded in reality. And one of these aspects is, you know, of this more awakened state where you transcend duality is you are not reactive anymore, right? You don't really, because you have lost, let go of these identifications, truly on an embodied level, let go of them. And some of them I just mentioned before, of identifying with any side or even as in, you know, all these concepts we've been conditioned with or, you know, basically indoctrinated with. So there's more lightness of being. It frees up energy. It actually frees up creative energy, right? And then you also don't live that much out of your head of these mental concepts, because all these are mental concepts, right, of identifying with a certain political party, movement, country, whatever, religion. These are mental concepts, and they restrict the flow. So you free yourself, and then you start to actually enter a whole new reality that kind of moves you more into the flow of life. You're more in the Tao, right, in the flow of life. And there's a natural movement, and life actually becomes more effortless. Right? You more respond. You don't push your personal will on it, right? And you also have more cleaned out your interior life through inner work, and don't follow wants, needs, and desires that were not your own to begin with. Because a lot of people, what I notice, also with my clients I work with, suffer or just are not happy because they are actually following wants, needs, desires, or have ambitions based on things that are not coming from their true self, but they have been conditioned with, right? Through upbringing, education, society, entertainment, all of that. Or coming out of insecurity, and the more insecure you are within and don't have your inner source, the more you're trying to, you know, grasp the outside or fill it with stuff or relationship to fulfill something that is lacking within you, right? So once you have shed this more and more, like your happiness, your fulfillment, your love doesn't depend that much anymore on anything out there, right? You're not using other stuff or others for your own happiness. So you're more content, you're actually more peaceful, and then more relaxed, and you respond more consciously rather than being reactive, right? And this state doesn't mean that nothing, like I said, that no quote-unquote bad or negative things doesn't happen or there's no conflict and suffering. I still encounter conflict and suffering in my own way, but I come more in the way I know I flow with it more like Bruce Lee said, be like water, right? So whatever might come, I'm kind of like able to move the energy like a martial artist, so to speak, right? And sometimes I'm better at it. Sometimes I still like get taken over, or I still have my own triggers here and there because I still have my work to do. But it's a different flow. And also one aspect of it is also to take full, you realize that you cannot blame anyone or anything anymore. And that's what people like to do, right, who is still, like, more in their conditioned personality, with a lot of shadow aspects. They blame others. They blame Trump, blame this, blame the Russians, blame the neighbor. blame, right? It's always somebody needs to be blamed, right? And even to the point nowadays, it's very pathological, actually, with this whole thing how easily people get offended, right? And now they blame people, like, or like you said something that offended me and hurt my feelings, right? But that's always a basic psychological rule. You can never make anybody responsible for the way you feel. It's still your choice how you react to it, right?
Right.
But people take themselves too serious, and then the more you identify with ego and personality, the easier you get offended, the more identifications you have. But the true self, the soul essence doesn't get offended. It couldn't care less about all these things, right? So it is more, again, it comes down more in effortless flow, but then also you tune into nature more beyond five sensory cognition, and you see there's actually a guidance, which I call there's a divine guidance in nature, and there's, you work with symbolisms and there's synchronicities, and all this guidance is open to us, and that moves you closer to your own individual soul purpose and soul lessons you're here to learn, and also talents you have deep within, and then you have freed up more creative energy through, you know, transcending more this state of duality, and you can really do profound work in terms of service of others, helping others, or your own creative work, and that's truly aligned with who you are on an individual basis. And another effect of it is there's no competition, right? I have no sense, I don't need to compete with anyone. And also you let go of what I call the disease of comparison. Too many of us, we compare ourselves with others all the time, right? And we're insecure, and I should do this because he is doing this, or then we feel superior than others or inferior. Like, so that's another, you know, sign of this state, that you let go of, you don't feel neither superior or inferior, right? You see this more,
right?
Everybody has its place, and you see that there's no mistake in reality. God doesn't make a mistake. Everything has its place. Even evil has its right to exist, because you understand its purpose from this evolutionary perspective of the evolution of consciousness or soul evolution, right? It's just,
right,
transcending, you know, that left versus right, or black versus dark versus light duality, but it encompasses it all. So it's more, you know, that kind of summarizes it, and it's not like, you know, I still have my down days, obviously, and my own triggers, my lessons I need to learn, right? But I'm definitely not thrown off by a lot of the stuff people, in, you know, would I say general people who are still kind of like plugged into the matrix, so to speak, as I call it,
right,
or believe in culture and in these political movements and are very identified with it. So once you really, and it's transcended that, and by transcending it, I don't mean apathy. I don't mean like, I don't know, whatever, you know, I don't mean it's
right,
like both joined and sitting on the couch and not caring, right?
It's right,
the awakened state.
Right.
Without
absolutely
kind of, it's not numbing yourself, right? That's very important to point out.
Yep. And if you can share, because a lot of what happens in, from my perspective, especially in quote unquote spiritual or new age communities or even yoga communities, there's a lot of escapism because it feels good. It's like, oh, I can be out of body and float.
Yeah.
And it's all like, I've heard you reference what I reference a lot, like that peace, love, happiness movement. And that's like the drug, you know, the gateway drug to ignore that which you actually have to address. So if you can share a little bit with the listeners, because then we're going to go into these things that people might be afraid of, but it's really, from my perspective, important, especially on even someone that's, you know, been invited to be on a shamanic path, like a true shamanic path. You have to understand the dualistic nature so you can navigate it to move beyond. If you can share with the listener a little bit about why, from your perspective, it's so important to do that inner work, meaning that when those triggers come up, that's an invitation to like, ooh, be with it. I even noticed, I think in the past, I don't know when you posted it, but I saw you like, instead of numbing out, as you just said, it's like, ooh, this is uncomfortable, but I can be with it, and how empowering that is within that moment. If you can share with the listeners a little bit about what that invitation is about or that opportunity is about in that moment.
Well, but in a sense, it is about, you know, when you really study, as I mentioned, like, you know, basic Jungian psychology, but you go back into true ancient or esoteric teachings, much of it has been suppressed or commercialized pop spirituality, or very watered down, or just very much distorted, that the true awakening, the waking up, is not this like linear road of always up, feeling high, better, love, and bliss, which is a lot of what you just mentioned, New Agers or pop spirituals, even like pop yoga practitioners get addicted,
yeah,
on, right? Just the bliss experience, and then they do yoga, breath work, all kinds of stuff, kundalini to raise in, and just create chemicals in the brain that give them a high, but it's not a true awakening, actually. And a lot of, without exception, all the teachings have warned about these side effects, not to get distracted by these psychic phenomena, so to speak, or internal states, which people then get addicted to, and which then also leads to what you just mentioned, spiritual bypassing, right? And then same in the shamanic path, when people get addicted to the peak experiences on medicine plants, ayahuasca, San Pedro, right? But that's not a true awakening. Can actually also install a faux enlightenment state, or one can fool oneself that one has healed, right? And it can be very damaging. So, but from a true esoteric perspective, the awakening process is not, as I mentioned, linear road up, but it's like a spiral up and spiral down and around all at the same time, because everything needs to come up. Mm. And there's a great quote Carl Jung said. He mentioned, no tree can reach to heaven which doesn't have its roots in hell, right? Mm. So similar, Sri Aurobindo from Integral Yoga said, no one can reach to heaven who has not walked through hell. And that's the true, that's what it comes down to. That's why we need to transmute the shadow to go into the dark. Shadow work is the name of the game on a collective level, or on an interpersonal level, right? So everything needs to be revealed. Everything needs to come up. Whatever we've been hiding, running away, all our fears, suffering, grievances, whatever we are holding back and never looked at needs to come up and needs to be looked at, needs to be transmuted, needs to be brought to light, right? And that's the whole true meaning of light work as well, so to speak. It is shadow work because you're shining light into the shadow.
Right.
Well, as Carl Jung said as well, it's no measure of... repeated Krishnamurti's again. Enlightenment, in a sense, is not imagining about figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious, right? Oh yeah, and enlightenment in sense is a very destructive process. Part of it is the shamanic descent into the underworld to battle with demons within and without, right? It's the complete eradication of whatever we believe to be true, so to speak. And it entails utter disillusionment, right? It's the death of the personality to be reborn in your true self. That's actually the meaning of the analogy of Jesus dying on the cross and then being reborn in the Christ self, in his true self, right? It's not to be taken literal. It's a metaphor for an alchemical process to born, transmute lead into gold from ego consciousness into spirit. But the ego doesn't give up. All these wounds, all the stuff we have, our conditioned personality likes to hold on. And to break through that can be sometimes very painful and literally results in a disillusionment. And this disillusionment process is what most people want to avoid because it's not comfortable, right? Or sometimes, especially in this day and age, Adya Shanti said something great, and I can see this as well. He said, with this term awakening, everybody wants to be wake up, right? But what Adya Shanti said, I'm kind of paraphrasing, he said, a lot of people talk about awakening, right? They want to wake up, but what they actually want is they want to be happy in their dream state and not go through a true awakening, right? So they want to awaken on their own terms. They have like a little more of a fear, but they don't want to like threaten their bourgeois comfort, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's what you see. That's why how these teachings get very distorted, right? And then even the other end, like, ties into the distortion of law of attraction and create your own reality. And then spiritual materialism comes in all of that. But, now we are in the face also collectively as a divine force is trying to anchor itself through, to say it bluntly, shit's coming up. You cannot avoid it. The more you suppress it, the worse it will get and can also manifest in disease, illness, because it cannot go anywhere. Nature doesn't abhor a vacuum. It needs to expand and be transmuted and come out. So the best we can do is consciously engage in this process of making the darkness conscious, of truly feeling what comes up and not avoiding it, right? And also not projecting it on the outside onto other people or out there, but taking full responsibility, because there's something bigger happening which or the ego mind we identify with has no control over whatsoever. And the more we're trying to control this, the more suffering we will actually experience.
Absolutely. So within that, let's go to entities. And so, you know, there comes a time and place. You mentioned, you know, you can do in the Tao, it's like everything's phenomena, you know, in Zen practice, like, you know, so even to have the checks and balance, if you went down a plant medicine, you know, exploration, then you might realize, like, wow, am I getting attached to this experience? Or, wow, this you know, you start adopting certain beliefs as truth for whatever you're maybe destined to evolve. But beyond, you know, these maybe attachments to what we think we know or attachments to what we think awake is, there comes a time and a place, as I have perceived it on my own path, where you start to have an awareness that, you know, there are beings and there are entities that are at play. And if you're not aware of that and how to navigate that, you're limiting yourself because you're kind of saying, I'm going to pretend that that doesn't exist, but it really does. And yeah, with the different elders that I've worked with, you know, they're very, like, clear about that. And they don't even, like, you know, when they see what I call ignorance, an ignorant human being just saying, oh, there's this beautiful cyan pool over there. But the seduction might be to dive into that pool because it looks so pristine and beautiful, but it's actually quite dangerous to do that if you've allowed yourself to see all that is in any moment. And that could be overwhelming if you jumped right there. So I know some of my clients, I've referred them to your work because they keep, you know, beating their head against the same questions. And I'm like, let's just have you contemplate some of this. So if you can share a little bit of what happens when we start to transform, we start to evolve, how strong these opposing forces get. It's almost like, ooh, we're liberating ourselves. But then they come back in like twice as hard sometimes just to test. To see, did you really give it up, or do I have a place here? And then, yeah, if you can also share for the person that might be listening to this, saying, "What are you talking about? Entities in possession?" And no, that doesn't happen. That person, to welcome them into a state of awareness, to like really start to observe reality as it is versus the reality as they want to perceive it.
Yeah. So there's couple of things happening on the awakening process. You know, first I said it's a descend and ascend at the same time. In order, the deeper you fall, the higher you can rise. So in other words, the higher you want to rise, the deeper you need to go. So in that process, you're changing your frequency, right? You're starting to embody the divine force because you're not trying to escape the world. You want to anchor the divine here. That's the key, right? It's not about escaping the world, right? It's not about you know, like I mentioned before, like just meditating in a cave and just trying to, find enlightenment in samadhi or anything like that. I mean, there's a lot of distortion in these Eastern practices as well. Actually, Sri Aurobindo, whose work I've studied and for me a true esoteric master, was highly critical of all the yogis, you know, trying to escape the world through samadhi or meditation and all of that, or staying in nirvana and whatnot, which is actually not a true enlightened state, but to really anchor the force here. So, but it's all about frequency. So this matrix frequency, as I call it, this ego consciousness resonates on a certain frequency. And that frequency actually is literally food for other forces in other dimensions, other densities, occult forces, and that's actually a truth that has been conveyed in all esoteric teachings before they have been corrupted. So in the uncorrupted teachings, they talk about this force that keeps humanity locked into this frequency present. And food is not necessarily physical food, but frequency is food, energy is food. Our soul essence is food for these beings. And, you know, you can see it from the Hermeticism they call about the Lords of Destiny, or the Gnostics called the Archons, or the Aurobindo call them the occult forces, from the Native American tradition, the Wetiko alien virus, or you go into Sufism and the Jing. Or you can, in esoteric Christianity, before the church hijacked all of that and made a dogma out of it, talk about the general law that keeps humanity in its place. So they all talk about the same force and same beings, and not all beings in the spiritual realm are benevolent. But the tricky part is they can actually disguise themselves as benevolent beings. They can pose as beneficial beings, and that can be very tricky if that, like what you mentioned, if people are not aware, don't have this deeper spiritual foundation, because out in the unseen world is like a jungle out there, and this can be very deceptive.
Yep.
Right. But what also happens once you start with the awakening process, these forces come, will actually, you create more tension. They try to put you back into your place. So they will interfere, attack you, and create all kinds of trouble and obstacles, most often to thought injections, interferences, emotional manipulation, or working through other people trying to get to you. So these are called facts, so to speak. You can verify it for yourself, but you will never find the verification through a five-sensory scientific method, right?
Right, yep.
But like part of the awakening process is you need to establish also true yogic consciousness, where you have a perception beyond the five-sensory cognition. And
right.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you're clairvoyant and see these beings, entities, and energies. I'm not a clairvoyant, but I definitely have a clairsentient, more of a clairsentient energy. I'm highly sensitive and can sense more intrusions through my own mind and understand, you know, what's happening, and or see in other people and see how these forces work, and all of humanity is affected by these forces, but vast majority obviously has no awareness of it, because they work in very subtle ways and their influence merges with the personality of the person. And for example, through thought injection, most of us, we identify with our thoughts, right?
Right.
And we have been influenced by this force for not only thousands, but hundreds of thousands of years. So they have also infiltrated certain belief systems, which we have then taken on. We think that it is our own. They've installed, the dogmatic monolithic religions and very distorted, the esoteric teachings, very distorted esoteric teachings we see now in religion. Or they have also implanted the belief of government, right? That's actually an archonic creation. We don't question that if we need government, right? Because we have living under these systems and of control for so long that we take them as normal, just quote unquote human nature. But that, again, we don't question human nature either, right? Because we never question anything. We believe in official history, official evolution, and we somehow assume that we are the main show on this planet, which we are not.
Right.
And that, again, all these teachings talk about. But, again, in this awakening process, these obstacles come in. But, again, this is nothing evil, right? They're just doing... Well, these forces, they feed off of certain emotions and frictions, right? Emotional louche. By the way, they feed off very much of all the projection against Trump. That's just perfect food for them. That's exactly what they want.
Absolutely.
Any form of trigger projection. But there's, again, nothing evil. That's no more evil than us eating plants or animals, right?
Yeah.
Life eats life, and we are simply not on top of the food chain. And again, I said consciousness is food, not only just physical material. But from this higher spiritual or esoteric perspective, they also have a teaching function, right? Again, so it's nothing that there's wrong and you need to get rid of them, because they only tag into us or attack us where we have our blind spots and weaknesses. So we can use them, instead of blaming these beings, entities, or these forces, to use them as teachers, quote-unquote, because they're highlighting the stuff you need to work on yourself, to cut off the food source, to heal yourself. And the more we become whole, embodied, and anchored to the divine force through shadow work and other ways, the less they can affect us. And that, until you get to a level of frequency, we are truly transcend the matrix and become a true sovereign spiritual being under the, under divine will and with the conscious connection to the divine. So.
Yeah.
But it's the archetypal battle of dark and light, and it's working through us. The war is literally through us. And like many masters and all the teachings have talked about, we are not in control of ourselves. We are manipulated and moved and controlled by forces we have no awareness of. So these are the negative. There are also positive forces, definitely divine forces, that also help and guide us and support us, but not in ways like most people assume. They don't necessarily bail us out. Right?
Right,
because
yep.
They understand a higher, truly positive, evolved force, an angelic being, whatever he may be, understands the meaning of life on 3D Earth, so to speak. That's about soul evolution. And we need to learn our own lesson, no matter how, even as hard as they may be, because from the higher perspective, there's actually no good or bad experience. It's just experience and whatever the soul needs to experience until it learns its lessons and we don't get to move on until we learn them, right? So they're also not going to interfere with us, right? So there's, you know, a lot of deception out there, especially that ties into, like, more the fringe, like people talk about UFOs and benevolent aliens, or the whole world of channeled materials can be very sketchy, right?
Right.
It can be most often these negative occult forces posing as positive ones if you don't have the discernment, right, on a deeper embodied level. And it's no similar that, you know, when as a parent you have a child, right, you realize the child sometimes needs to hurt itself as well, like you cannot just always save it, right? Same, our these divine higher forces, right, they support us but in more subtle ways, maybe through synchronicities, right, the right book or teaching comes along, the right person opportunity, if we are aware enough and can tune into that, that helps us to move on. But again, the lessons, we need to learn the lessons on our own, right, and step by step, and then we have all on in our individual journey, right? But there are these other forces that can make the path towards awakening very hard, and they throw obstacles into our lives. And then, on to top it off, the New Age has distorted all of these things with a very distorted application of law of attraction, right? Very oversimplified, basically, when something, whatever happens to you is because you're attracted to you because of your thoughts, emotions, or whatever, right?
Right, yep.
And so when you're, something bad is happening to this, oh, it's your fault because you must have had, like, a bad attitude or something, right?
Right.
But not, you know, if you're truly sincere on this path towards awakening, you know, a lot of things you attract will come to you, these attacks, is not because of your bad thoughts or anything, but because you are a threat to the system, to these forces, right? So actually you're doing something right if you get that kind of attention.
Right.
It's just a matter of how you use it, you know, like in sort of a teaching function, but it's not a result of having a bad attitude or negative thoughts or anything like that. All right, so that's where it all, again, you know, suppression of knowledge is the name of the game, and disinformation, especially in the New Age and pop spirituality, what's most often truth mixed with lies, and then people who are not discerning or don't have deep understanding and not involved in sincere inner work, they usually swallow the lies of the truth. I call it the shit sandwich, a lie between two truths, right? So they're not
right.
Very discerning. But then all, it's just no judgment. It's all try and error. I've, you know, learned the hard way most often. I'm still trial and error, so I'm finding my way through it. And, you know, it's a roller coaster. But, yeah, that's the best I can put this topic into a nutshell in 15 minutes. And in a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, I equate it to walking on the razor's edge. You know, you can fall off to the right or to the left in an instant, but you get back up. And, you know, in a true shamanic path, you realize that in a moment you can slip, but there's a lightheartedness, there's a levity there from my perspective, not an attachment to like joy or happiness, but this lightness, this movement that says, oh, whoa, I slipped, but here I come back again. So when we talk about, you know, these forces being there, doing their work, you know, I kind of have like, thank you for, that's your job to be evil, perceptually evil. Thank you for holding that tension. And thank you for being holding that goofy tension over there. So I can explore here in the middle. You know, it's that balancing beam. If you can share a little bit how in the simplest form to start, because you talked about in a true yogic sense what happens when you enter that system. You know, it's not about doing the perfect posture and the way and taking a selfie and showing it to the world. What naturally happens from my experience, my own personal experience, is things start to fall away. You know, you start to access these beyond sense pleasure experiences. And they can't actually be put into writing, or I can't tell you and expect you to understand, because it's something that I'm internally that's like realized, and then it's self's responsibility to decide how you want to apply that, you know. If you can share a little bit with the listeners as to maybe the advantage to start to understand the forces and pull out, because the political discussion that you brought up in the beginning of this discourse is so powerful, because I think even for myself it was one of the most alarming things to witness. I was like, wow, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, wow, these forces are like flying at you. You just open up social media and you feel like there's thousands of arrows coming out towards people, you know, to attack them, feed off them, so to speak. So if you can share that value of really being able to see these energies that are welcoming you to learn about self, and what happens when you, for self, as you continue to evolve with them and learn to surf and flow with them versus feeling like attacked by them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, the way I like to phrase it is, because I'm not, you know, I realize my work, first of all, no, it's not for everyone, nor is these teachings for everyone. Everybody, we need to always consider that everybody is on a different level of evolution, so to speak. And not, I don't mean this in soul evolution, I don't mean this in a value judgment, but with 7 billion people on this planet, there's vast different levels of beings, right, and soul lessons and talents. And that's another misconception, by the way, the assumption that we are one, but we're not all the same.
Right.
Right. So a lot of this knowledge or this kind of is not for everyone, right? Literally, their soul may not be ready for it. And again, there's no judgment. We all have been where everybody else has been, right? But instead of like, because in the beginning, I would also like, because I'm so, you know, there's been this journey, like, you know, I've come across these topics already 15 years ago, and then more in my revolutionary days, trying to make people aware, like almost forcefully, and that's not going to happen. You've got to respect the law of free will, right, and everybody in their own time. But what I've noticed, basically, instead of telling people why they, quote-unquote, should become aware of these forces and learn about them, I would suggest, to say that whoever is truly sincere, and I don't, you know, sincerity in the true meaning of the word sincere, 100% committed to waking up and to seeking truth, will inevitably come across these forces, either through experience directly or through their studies of learning esoteric and spiritual teachings, right? So it's inevitable. And you know, I've learned the most through my personal experience, and then, you know, reflecting back on other esoteric teachings has helped me to put into context or actually confirm what I've experienced, right? Mm. But, you know, let's just put it this way. There's way more to our reality than we see what's going on at 3D level, right? So everything relates to this hyperdimensional force that is influencing humanity and has influenced humanity for hundreds and thousands of years. And what we see on the physical level is just the manifested symptoms. So trying to, initiate change through institutions, through governments, through social activism, all of that, you know, gives maybe like a high and appeals to the ego most often because you think you're doing something great. But it's not changing anything in the long run, because it's just like Krishnamurti said, it's basically changing the tapestry of a prison you're not even aware you're in.
Mm.
And so, again, with these forces, like, you know, I feel like, and you mentioned at the beginning, like, you know, that, you know, scary things, so people may be afraid of it. Like, you know, as long as there's still fear of these topics, or like, makes you uneasy, then it's a sign there's a lack of understanding or knowledge.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's because fear and intent is an illusion anyway, right? It doesn't exist
right.
In the present moment. And for me in my life, I mean, fear never came into the equation. It's not that I'm particularly brave or anything, but I'm just, maybe that's also my path, but I was more like fascinated, and I'm just like truly, sincerely driven by understanding, wanting to know the truth, whatever it may be, right? I didn't like set out the truth to, you know, I didn't expect or plan to find what I found out, right? But
right.
Here it is, hence I share about it, right? And it definitely goes against everything we've believed, and I've dealt with my own, especially since I'm so outspoken in public, definitely with public attacks and defiances and all of that, right? So that's just the name of the game, so to speak. But again, I mean, I can only suggest to peers behind the veil, so to speak, to truly question deeply, right? And also ask yourself, or people should kind of recommend to ask themselves, how sincere are you? How much are you willing to know truth, to see truth, even if it conflicts with everything you ever believed in, right? And how sincere are you in the awakening process, right? Do you truly want to awaken, or do you want to just have a pleasant life? you know. And then some people, I ask this question at some of my retreats, and then some people say, well, I want both, and that's exactly the problem right there, right? The struggle within the ego between the soul, essence, so to speak. And I'm not saying that we cannot have a pleasant life. Obviously, yeah, that's the ultimate, to transcend suffering. But the way there is not easy, right? We always want to go more fleeting, pleasures, but not the eternal, substance, you know, within us. And as even written, find the kingdom within first, and then everything else, you know, all the riches will be laid to you, so to speak. I'm just completely paraphrasing that quote. But that's really what it is about, right? And then that's the struggle. So the struggle, again, is within. So it really comes down, and it's about the individual, right? To really ask each of us these questions.
Absolutely. And when we go back to just a little bit back, and I know I'm holding you a little bit longer, so I apologize, but I promise. When we go back to quantum field, and you brought up the law of attraction, which is a spiritual psyop, I would consider it. You know, it's a distraction from some of these inner places. Maybe there's some truths when in it. But if you go into a quantum field, even where indigenous people will have prophecy and behold it, what's fascinating is they won't change it. They don't try to go out there and go, I have to change what I'm seeing. If you can share a little bit from your perspective about feeling into the quantum field of energy that's flowing, constantly changing, and we're adapting to, and that how, because within my own journey, I'm like, wow, some of the stuff is so woven in. So for me to even tell someone, oh, you can instantly demand, you know, a new Rolls Royce, let's say, would be, I don't know, kind of silly for me to say that to anyone, because I know beyond that, right? So if you can share within that quantum field, being able to navigate for self and what you're feeling into, and then how to best serve that moment, because we might feel in that quantum field and be like, whoa, I have a lot of suffering to walk through, but not to pull away from it, but be like, wow, I have the opportunity to transform, you know, or whatever it might be. You know, that's just an example.
You know, the way I like to answer that is also, by the way, I want to mention the law of attraction, the pop, as it's popularized, it's again truth mix of lies. There's truth to it, but there's a whole different meaning. From an esoteric perspective, actually, like attracts like. It was actually addressed to the sincere seeker, that the seeker attracts to him or her the experience he needs to in order to learn the lessons, in order to transcend to the divine, you know, to wake up. So that includes not only pleasant experiences, but even difficult lessons that serve as initiation, like necessary initiation. So that's the true meaning of the law of attraction. It was geared towards the adept of esoteric work. Now, the quantum field, I feel that ties in, again, the awakening up, you know, ties in, it doesn't mean that the more spiritual, it's okay to be poor or poverty. And I'm also, it's not about denying the material side of life at all, right? Although that has also then kind of become very, distorted in the sense that we abuse spiritual knowledge to enrich our, to fulfill our greed and whatnot and material addictions, right? But, you know, when you are, I feel it is about, you know, for example, you see a lot of it with people wanting to manifest certain things in their lives, a partner, some material stuff, or attract and this and that. But the more you shed all of your conditioning and desires, the more you get aligned with the divine force and become actually conscious transducer of divine will, which is expressing itself uniquely through your individual self, right? And that activates its own talents, what you have, which you may not be even aware of. And within that, so you always truly get what you truly need, and you truly merge personal will with divine will, right? So you have then a much higher power of creativity to actually influence that quantum field, so to speak, from this higher level of being. But there's also a state of being where you're like so beyond ego consciousness, so you're not really necessarily interested in like, oh, I'm going to manifest a 2 million house, million whatever, house over the next year or whatever, right? You're just manifesting what you know truly need in a soul essence also to do the work you're here, right? And
right.
You can create a certain lifestyle, but it's never like coming from this need of, you know, what the need we usually experience in our ego consciousness. It's simply aligned with something higher, and that's, again, like you mentioned before, it's really hard to put into words all of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But really, it's a state of being. And, and then, you know, then you don't need to really, because you're so in the flow, you're so aligned, then whatever you truly need, will you materialize it in a sense, but it's not coming from this forceful, oh, I need to manifest this now, you know, state of mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, to honor you and our time, I love to invite you back. You mentioned at the beginning, before we got on air, that you've been working diligently to develop a deeper course where people can dive into everything we've discussed that are probably there sincerely ready to do that work. Because, again, it's not for, you know, well, I guess someone could be window shopping, but they might realize it's more than they bargained for. So if you can share a little bit about that before we exit out today, I would love to give the listeners a chance to understand what you have coming up on the horizon.
Yeah, first of all, I can suggest, I mean, maybe you mentioned this anyway, about my website, veilofreality.com. There's all my writings, videos, webinars, films. There's a lot on there already. And I'm currently working on a new webinar. It's quite a project, because I really want to dive deeper into these forces, occult forces, the hyperdimensional forces, archonic forces that affect us. I'm going to talk about entity attachment, interference, how to protect oneself, how to do exorcism and deep possession and all of that. And I'm not claiming to know it all and have all the experience, but I have some of it through personal experience working with my clients and the teachings and resources I've studied and all of that, confirming also my own experiences. So I wanted to compile it all into a webinar to give people some practical advice, you know, how to deal with these forces, so to speak, in light of soul evolution and in all of that. And that's, you know, I've been working on the past few months, and I tend to get very focused and into it. And so it's going to be a long one, like, I don't need a few hours webinar.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I'm probably going to do it September or October. I'm not even sure. Usually I do them live. I don't even know if I'm going to do this one live now, because it might be maybe as well 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
So I may pre-record it. And then, you know, these kind of things, because I put a lot of work, I'm just usually then sell them on my website. People, you know, can check out. But this one is definitely more for the quote-unquote advanced student, like people who already, like, have, you know, been in this for a while, so to speak. I mean, everybody's willing, you know, can check it out. But if anybody has not familiar with this topic at all, it might be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we close out, one other thing, if you could share, since we didn't totally, that's why I'm going to have you come back and talk about possession, or maybe it'll be the appetizer to your segment, or I don't know, after dinner elixir. But if you could share a little bit about how to keep yourself fully, in the most basic terms, in a space of expressing your own free will, contained within your energetic field the best you can, so you're not as susceptible to the influences of these other forces that are definitely kind of watching.
The most simple term, staying in body and getting out of the head and in the present moment.
Perfect.
<That's>
Yes. All right. Yeah. That the mind is a dangerous tool we have.
Exactly.
For sure. So, Bernard, I want to thank you so much for being here today. It's exciting topics that I love to delve in, so it's nice to be able to hear from you and have you share your wisdom.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Susanna.
Once again, I want to thank Bernard for being here today, and as inspired, connect to his work below the links to his blog and his website are below. We will let you know when his new course is available. And we're going to exit out with a little Alex Bridges move. Take a moment to be in body and contemplate the wisdom that you just received. Until next time, this is she signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, and a deep bow. Be simply.
Gone by, the sun is setting down. One of all the holes in the sky, we're heaven looking out. I see a mother without a child, looking without a crown. All your dreams came true. Would you go? Would you move from where you are? Oh, would you hide behind your scars? Just like you'll do right now. Would you still be who you are? Oh. On the other side of the world, the sun is rising now. And if I could bring next to me now, some way, somehow, just like the moon pulls the tides without the heavens crashing down. But if there was such a place where all your dreams came true, would you go? Would you move from where you are? Oh, would you hide behind your scars? Just like you do right now. Would you still be who you are? Sun is heading down.